We'll take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible, you can take one of those black pew Bibles, turn to page 522, and you can follow along with me this morning. Psalm 66. A few years ago, someone gave me a book called The Shack, and I read that book, and boy, just such a mixture of emotions. Started off, and I'm crying, and kind of, wow, this is hard reading. Then the next page, I am angry because of my perception of the theology that it was presenting. I'm just kind of, wow. And I told people not to read it because it presents a, it just didn't go along very good with the Bible. And anyway, they made a movie out of it. I watched the movie, and the movie's better than the book, I think. And it just got me thinking, wouldn't it be interesting, wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be exciting if we could just go home to our living room and sit in our easy chair or on our sofa or something rather, and God were to be right there next to us and we just talk with Him. And when I don't like using the phone. You know, I like looking at people when I talk to them. I like to watch their expressions. I like to look in their eyes. And it'd just be neat if we could just see God and talk with Him. Well, we may not see God, but you know, we can talk to God, and He hears us, and I believe He talks back. Psalm chapter 66, our theme for this year is talking to God. This is a house of prayer, and in order for this to be a house of prayer, we have to be a people of prayer. And so how do we pray? And there's lots of ways that we can pray. I gave you some characteristics last week about in your own life. If you want to be that person of prayer, then you've got to go along here. And as I'm just reading through, I see Psalm 66. I take it as a prayer. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. The song the choir sang about every mountain will fall down or bow down and the seas will roar. It just goes along. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awe-inspiring are Your works. Your enemies will cringe before You because of Your great strength. All the earth will worship You and sing praise to You. And they will sing praise to Your name. And then if you remember over in Philippians chapter 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's coming a time when God's going to get His way and we'll all bow down, worshiping Him, give Him the glory and the honor, singing praises to His name, and declaring with all of our heart, wholeheartedly, Jesus is Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your holy word and how the psalmist can stir us up to with emotions to praise Your name and making us want to shout and to sing praises to You. God, I thank You for the privilege of sitting down and talking to You, because You are our Father. And so, Father, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, and whatever phase of life we might be in, I just pray that prayer will characterize us, that we can be that person of prayer. Now may Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer should be a way of life for the follower of Jesus Christ. It's just a way of life for us. Prayer is as natural as breathing to us. You know, did you know that breathing is involuntary? I like to swim, and I'm a little bit overweight. Doctors use the word obese, but I don't like that word. So in order to swim, I have my quiet time in the morning, and I'm reading, and I take a deep breath, and I hold it so I can work on my lungs. Now, it doesn't work on the rest of my body very good, but I'm trying to build up my stamina so I can swim better. Do you know that breathing is involuntary? It's easier to breathe than it is to hold your breath. It takes an effort to hold your breath. And more than likely, if all of us at one time were to decide to hold our breath, all of us are going to breathe. You just can't do it. Oh, maybe you can last 15 seconds. Maybe you can last 30. Maybe if you're in good shape, you can last 45 seconds. But it's just going to happen. You're going to breathe. It's just a natural reaction or response. Every once in a while, when I go to bed, I lay there and I think about, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. What if I'm so tired that I can't breathe? And I lay there and sure enough, I don't breathe for about 15 seconds. And then it just happens again. It's just a natural thing in our life. You know, God did an awesome job, I think, when He created us. You can't hold your breath very long. You see, we just naturally breathe. And if we quit breathing, we die. Prayer is like that. When you quit praying, you'll die spiritually. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, prayer is to be just as natural, just as involuntary as breathing. Prayer should just kind of flow from our heart naturally and continually, just like we're breathing. In fact, we're going to look at the scripture in just a few minutes, and Paul says to pray without ceasing. I've been your pastor now for over 18 years. And in that course of time, one of my favorite sayings is that our greatest need is for a continual awareness of the presence of God. And I believe with all my heart that that awareness of God's presence will lead us to surrendering our life to be that person of prayer. If we can just imagine the reality that God is right there. Whether you're in your living room, sitting on your easy chair or on your sofa, talking to God who you may not see, but wherever we are, being that person of prayer. Reading a book by John MacArthur, he says, God's greatest desire and or our greatest need is to be in constant fellowship with Him right now. Being in fellowship with God right now. If you will, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 16. Psalm 16. Now, we're in Psalm 66. We're not going to look at that very much. That was just kind of an introduction. But Psalm 16, verse 2. We'll start with verse 1. Anyway, it says, protect me, God, for I take refuge in you. If I say to Yahweh, you are my Lord, I have nothing good besides you. Out of all God's creation, and you know, there's a lot of beautiful things. This last Friday and Saturday, I drove up to Modesto with Greg to get his stuff, bring him back. And we drove by the ocean, and that was neat. We drove over the grapevine, and that was neat. We drove through some almond orchards, and they're blooming. And, you know, that was kind of neat. The rain was coming down. That was kind of neat. And we get up there, and there's a river, San Joaquin River or something like that, and I love water. So that's kind of neat, digging a ditch across there. And I'm just looking around, and out of all God's creation, there's nothing to compare with God. Nothing to compare with God. In Psalms 16, drop down to verse 8. I will keep the Lord in my mind always. You know, there is a continual awareness of the presence of God in the psalmist's life. And says, he says, I will keep the Lord in my mind always because he's at my right hand. I may not sit on the sofa and be able to see him, but he's right here. And nothing will shake me. Being that person of prayer, realizing that we're in the presence of God. Well, to help you be that person of prayer and talk about prayer, I came up with a little acrostic. If we had projectors, we might see what I did on this one. But to help you remember how to pray, I came up with this word, ape. And so I want us to go ape when we pray. A-P-E, three letters, three words I want you to be aware of. First of all, to be alert. If you have your bulletin, you know, our theme this year is to be a person of prayer. And I've tried to challenge you, take notes each week. And at the end of 2018, look back over all the things that we have said and done and practiced and have a prayer list and see what God has answered. And so in this prayer list, the back of your bulletin says, first of all, to be alert. And we read that this morning in Ephesians chapter 6 Pastor Kevin read that. But I want to look at a couple others. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I told you, is what Paul said, to pray without ceasing. When we want to memorize scriptures, those of us with lazy minds and we don't want to memorize a whole long thing, we can go with some people, well, Jesus wept. Okay, that's a good one to memorize. But a better one is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And so that's a good thing. But let's go from 1 Thessalonians. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. In your pew Bible, page 1116. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Now the end of all things is near. And so we don't know when the end is coming, but it's near. Therefore, be serious and discipline for prayer. Another translation says, be alert in your prayer. Be aware of going on. You know, sometimes we just kind of, I don't know about you guys, but I'm driving down the road, and I'm coming from 805 over here where I had been to Walmart or I had been somewhere, and I'm driving down Highway 52, and I'm just kind of looking up, and there's a little nine-hole golf course up here I used to play golf at over here. And I'm just driving down the road, and you know, there's two big hawks that live down here in the canyon. And so I'm driving along the road, and I see these hawks, and I'm thinking, wow, that is so beautiful. And I live off of Claremont Mesa Boulevard. And when I get to Claremont Mesa Boulevard, I just driving along, and for some reason, after I get to Claremont Mesa Boulevard, my wife will say, where are you going? And then I kind of, why didn't you tell me that 5 seconds ago? So now we have to go over the hill, get down the bottom, flip a U, come back, and all that. You know, we just kind of, we're not disciplined. I don't stay alert. I just get in my own little world. And I think that's what he's trying to tell us here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, is to be alert of what's going on. Be serious in your prayer. It's not just something, oh yeah, we can say a prayer real quickly. We do that sometimes, don't we? You know, when we go to bed at nighttime, sometimes, well, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, it's a cute little prayer, but how serious are we about that prayer? Be serious. Be disciplined in our prayer, he says. So be alert. When everything is going great, and it seems like it can't get any better, pray. Thanking God for his blessings and praise him because he is great. When you're tempted to sin, and you know the temptations come in a lot of different forms and a lot of different ways to everybody else. But when we're tempted to pray, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There's no temptation that's going to take you that isn't common to everybody. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above you're able to stand, and will with that temptation provide a way to escape it. When you're tempted to sin, thank God for the victory that he's going to give you. praising God, praying, being alert of what's going on. When we see evil around us, whether it be a shooter in the school, a shooter in the church, or we see some act of terrorism, or we see chemical warfare someplace around the world, or we see Christians being killed over in Egypt, whatever it might be, when we see evil around us, we pray for protection. Pray for a remedy to evil. Pray for wisdom to know how to respond in those situations, to be alert. About 4 years ago, I said, let's practice a siren prayer this year. Every time you hear a siren, if you remember, I ask you for three things. Number one, I said, when you hear that siren, pray for the first responders. God, would you protect them as they're getting into that situation? Whether it be a traffic accident and they have to get out there and direct the traffic, or whether it be a house fire and they have to go in and get them, or whether it be home domestic violence and they have to go in and risk their lives for that. Whatever it might be, pray for those first responders. The second thing, I said, pray for the victim. There's someone who's in a dire situation, whether it be sickness or whether they're in some kind of a threatening thing, but pray for the victim. And third, I said, pray for the lawbreaker, because usually when you hear a siren, someone's doing something they shouldn't be doing. Pray for them. Whenever it might be, pray, being alert. When we meet people who don't know Christ, pray. Pray for God's Spirit to touch their souls. Pray for the boldness to share Jesus with them. Remember, I've asked you this year to do a Monday morning prayer. So every Monday morning, three things I've asked you to pray for. First of all, we pray, God, please put someone in my path that I can share Jesus with. And so somewhere during the week that God's going to bring someone across your path that you can share God's love with them. The second thing, Lord, please lay someone on my heart. And it could be one of the next door neighbors. It could be some of your family members. Lord, lay someone on my heart that I can be constantly praying for them, that you'd protect them and open the door for salvation. And then the third thing I ask you to pray for is that God would give you the boldness to share our faith. Too often we're going to be keeping silent, and we're afraid to be rejected, or afraid we're going to offend them or something. And so we just, well, let's just keep it to ourselves. But we pray. So when we meet people who don't know Christ, pray for God's Spirit to touch their souls. Pray for the boldness to share Christ with. And pray for the knowledge of the right words to say at the right time that can get them to think about it. When we're in trouble, for some of us that's quite often, when we face trouble, pray. Pray that God would give us the strength to turn and to trust Him as our deliverer. And so we need to be that person that is alert. The first thing, that word ape, going ape, is be alert. Be alert of your opportunities to glorify God. Whether it be singing praises or thanking Him for His creation or whatever it might be alert of the opportunities to glorify God, to be a witness for God, to resist sin. Let's turn, if you would please, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This is going to be on page 1111. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. And so we're praying that God would be honored in all that we do. I don't think we can accurately pray unless we're alert to the situation that surrounds us. We have a Bible study on Monday night. The men are doing counterculture. Being aware of the surroundings around us, what people are saying, what people are doing, what people are believing, and somehow confronting them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being alert to the situations around us, whether it's a cultural or political environment, and sharing the love of God with them. So the first thing, if we're going to go ape in our prayers, is to be alert. The second thing is to be persistent. To be persistent as we pray. Let's go back to where Pastor Kevin was in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Page 1080, if you forgot that. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Stay alert. That goes back to what I just got through saying about being alert. He says it there in verse 18, be alert, stay alert. And with this, all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. With all perseverance. How long have you been praying for someone? You know, too often we pray for them. I tell them, well, I prayed for you. But we quit before we get the answer. And so we're to be persistent in our prayer, to keep on praying. Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 7, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. We sang that song, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then it goes on and says, keep on asking, you'll receive. And keep on seeking. And then keep on knocking. It's not a one-time thing, but we need to be persistent in our prayers. Don't pray it and then quit, but keep on. Jesus gives us a couple of illustrations. A lady went before the judge and says, avenge me, my adversary. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that next-door neighbor had done to this lady, that she wanted a court to intervene in that, but something had happened, and nobody wanted to do anything about it. And so she says, please, judge, avenge my adversary. And the judge says, get out of here. And so she kept on coming back and kept on. And the judge finally says, wow, this lady is driving me crazy. If I don't do something, she's going to come after me. And so he went ahead and did what he's supposed to do. We don't know the whole story, but we have the illustration there. Is that a siren? Maybe we should pray. Let's do that. God, I pray right now that you'd be with those first responders. We don't know if this is a medical emergency, if this is a fire or something taking place. But I pray your protection upon them, that you would help them in this situation. And Lord, I pray for the victim. If it's someone who's in a serious situation that needs your attention, I just pray that you would reach down and comfort them and the people around them, that they can minister to them. And Lord, I pray if there's a crime that's taking place in the midst of this, that it's an intentional thing, that you would convict them. And Lord, that they might come to know you. Please help us to be people of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Persistent. Keep it up. Don't quit before the end is there. And so that's what we find, whether it's here in Ephesians chapter 6 or whether it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing, whatever it might be persistent. We're in Ephesians. Right next to Ephesians is Philippians. Right next to that is Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, starting with verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, says, devote yourself to prayer. You know, we're devoted to a lot of different things. Sometimes we're devoted to our clubs and our organizations. Sometimes we're devoted to whatever it might be that comes across our way. But here we find Paul saying, hey, if we're going to have a house of prayer, if we're going to be a person of prayer, then devote yourself to pray. Pray without ceasing. Devote yourself to prayer. Stay alert. That goes back to number one that I said. If we're going to be that person of prayer, we're going to pray ape. We're going to have to be alert. It says pray, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am in prison. And then let's continue through verse 6. So that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. In other words, don't waste your time. There's a lot of ways we can waste our time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. So we're praying for wisdom, so know what to say. But he tells us there to be persistent in our prayers. And we're praying for one another, praying for God's will, praying for our church. This morning praying, and I have a church directory, and so I'm praying for you guys. I'm having backflashes of over 18 years ago, about almost 19 years ago. I wrote the church. Frank Booth had asked if I would be interested in being pastor, and the whole process, for those of you who are here, I became the pastor, but I'm still back in Kentucky for a month. And so I asked him, could you send me a church directory? And so before I was even here on the field, I was praying for the church members by name every single day, even to the point where I wrote a postcard or I wrote a letter to everybody and sent it out and let you know, hey, if I become your pastor, I'm going to pray for you every day. And I've been doing that, persistent, being a person of prayer. Persevere in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. If we're going to be that person, then we can't quit too early, but keep on going to the end. Kind of like, quick illustration, watching the Olympics a couple weeks ago, these cross-country skiers, these two women, man, they were going at it, and they got behind. And the guy on the newscaster said something about it looks like France is going to win or something rather. But I'm watching it all the way. And pretty soon they're just a little bit behind, and the finish line is just right there. And somehow our team just kind of pushed it and just had this hairline win. What if they would have quit just a hair early? Do you guys remember the race? I don't know, probably 10, 15 years ago, the guy's running, and he's ahead of everybody. And just when he gets to the finish line, he raises his hand and he slows down just to kind of give this cool jog across there. And the other guy came past him and beat him. You know, sometimes in our spiritual life, sometimes in our prayer life, we quit just before we get there. And so if we're going to go ape in our prayers, we've got to be alert in our prayers. We've got to pray with perseverance or be persistent. And the third thing is we have to be evangelistic. As I'm reading here in Colossians, the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, be alert, pray that I may speak the words, preach about the Messiah. And so to be evangelistic, to share our faith, often we wonder, we ask ourselves the question, why in the world am I here? Or maybe sometimes we say, why am I still here? And the answer is that we're here to honor or to glorify Christ. But you know, as I think about honoring and glorifying Christ, I believe with all my heart, I probably could honor and glorify Christ better in heaven. So why not go ahead and go on home? So there must be something more to why I'm here than honoring God. And I think that answer comes in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Go make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe or to practice or to do all the things or obey all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. And so why are we here? Well, we're here to honor and glorify Christ. There's no doubt about that. But more importantly, we're here to make disciples, to be evangelistic. We have a faith to share. We have the answer. I was listening to a Christian radio station. I don't know what I listen to every day, 102.5, something or other, K-Love or something or other. Anyway, and they were talking about if we had the cure for cancer, wouldn't it be a shame if we just kept it to ourselves? We've got the cure to hell. Wouldn't it be a shame if we sat on a comfortable pew and kept it to ourselves? You see, in our prayer, if we're going to go ape, we've got to be alert, we've got to be persistent, but we have to be evangelistic. We were eating breakfast. You know, we eat a lot here at this church. I don't know if you know that or not, but we go out to eat a lot. And so this last Thursday morning, we had our breakfast, and sitting across the table, I think, from Gus, and in the course of conversation, Gus, wherever you are, back in the back, says, hey, we need Brother Foley's Sermon on Hell. Too bad we didn't tape that off. One of my favorite Bible stories on hell is called The Rich Man and Lazarus. And what it is this guy, poor man, had sores all over the place. He didn't have food to eat. And there was a rich man who had too much food and too much stuff. And so the poor man would sit there at the gate or by the door there, and he would beg for stuff. And every once in a while, I guess, the rich man gave him something. But normally, he'd turn the dogs on him, and the dogs would lick his sores. And it came to the point where both of them died. And the poor man, not because he's poor, but the poor man went to heaven. And not because he's rich, but the rich man went to hell. And in that, the rich man is in torment. And he's just saying, hey, I can't stand this. Could you send Lazarus over to touch my tongue with water? Just a little bit of drop would be go a long ways over here. And God says, hey, we can't do that. And then he says, hey, then send someone to my family because I don't want anybody to come here. You see, the whole purpose of the story to me is the realization, the fact that hell is real. Sometimes, you know, Facebook gets me in trouble, okay? I'm sitting in my office, and something triggers me, and I've just got to express my opinion. So I started putting this together, I believe. I don't remember what all I wrote, but I wrote something good that, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I hope I said that. And anyway, got down to the end of it, and I said, I believe that hell is real. And a friend of mine that I grew up with, I told him, I said, I've known him since 1963, I think. Anyway, he wrote back and says, hey, I believe everything you said except the fact that there, and he emphasized, there is no hell. Well, I believe hell is real. And because I believe it's real, I just think it's important that I do everything I can to keep people out of there. And so my prayers, it's evangelistic. And so I have a list of neighbors down. I live in the alley here. Technically not in the alley, but I spend more time in the alley than any place else. And so I have a list of my neighbors down the alley, and I pray for them. God, please help them to know you. You know, are we praying for lost people, or do we care? And that's a hard question. Again, John MacArthur says, our legitimate concern for others should express itself in how fervently we take out our request to God. God, I want my neighbors to know you. Please give me the words to say, the opportunity to share you somehow, some way. Not just my neighbors. We go down to Tijuana three times a year, four times a year. Not just in Tijuana, but we go around the world planning mission trips, wanting to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. I want to go ape. I want to be alert about everything that's going on and be praying that things trigger my mind, and I'll just be constantly in prayer, constantly aware of God's presence. I want to be persistent. I don't want to pray a little bit now and then, oh, I forgot. I want to be persistent. But I really want to be evangelistic, praying for people to know Jesus. I'm praying for you. Maybe this morning, that's the question I need to ask you. Do you know Jesus? Have you come to the point in your life when you stopped what you're doing and intentionally prayed and then asked God to come into your life and forgive you of your sins? Have you made that commitment? God, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be a Christian. Have you prayed that prayer? Well, maybe you've already prayed that prayer and you could give me a date and time and everything else. March 5th, 1961 for me, about 12 o'clock at noon, sitting in the second pew in the church on the right-hand side. But maybe you haven't been living for him. Maybe you haven't been a persistent follower of Jesus. Maybe it's time to rededicate yourself. Maybe you've already prayed and invited Jesus, and your life is reflecting it pretty good, but you haven't been, you're not a church member, you're not a follower of Christ, you haven't been baptized. Whatever it might be, if God's been speaking to you, then why not today be that person to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus? Would you pray with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have this morning to come together and to worship you, to sing of your holy name and to praise you, to read from your holy word, and then, Father, to be challenged about being that person of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would put someone on our heart that we might pray for them, and Lord, that we might see miracles happen as people give their life to you. Father, as we end our services this morning, I just pray that your Holy Spirit might continue to speak to us through the music we're going to sing, through the scripture we've already read, or whatever it might be. May your Spirit speak to us and draw us to you to the point where we're willing to say yes. Now, Father, may you get all the glory and the honor from every decision that is made right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We close our services here with what I call an invitation. I'm going to be down front inviting you to trust in Jesus. If you've never prayed and asked him to come in, that you might come here and let me pray with you and invite Jesus in your heart. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life. I'll pray with you and as you commit your life. Whatever it might be, I want to share it with you. On the other hand, you can do it right where you are. And God will honor it. He knows what's going on. Would you say yes to him right now? I'm going to ask if you would please to stand.